tonight on Arena. Sam Blake on her new standalone novel, The Dark Room, and Stephen Benedict on Francois Truffaut and The Rise of the Auteur. #51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. Born in Hertfordshire in southern England, but these days very firmly rooted in Dublin, Vanessa Fox O'Loughlin is the founder of the website writing.ie and co-founder of the crime fiction festival Murder One. As a writer, she writes under the Noom diplom Sam Blake and is best known for the hugely successful Cat Connolly series of crime novels, of which there are three. Her first standalone thriller, Keep Your Eyes on Me, was published in 2019, and now she gives us The Dark Room, a thriller set in rural Cork, focusing on a film producer called Rachel Lambert and her documentary-making husband, Hunter, who flee to rural Cork from London when the subject of Hunter's latest documentary is found burned to death. And Vanessa Fox O'Loughlin, Sam Blake, joins me now. I suppose, Sam, the reality is here, getting both Rachel Lambert and another very important character, in fact, in the whole story here, an investigative journalist called Caroline Connolly, getting them to West Cork was pretty important. There was something about the remoteness of the location you send them to that I think is important and probably tells us about the type of crime novel you like to read and to write.
Absolutely. It's very much an isolated place. It's a country house hotel called Hare's Landing in West Cork. And mobile phone coverage is very patchy and the weather's closing in on them.
And because the mobile phone coverage is patchy, I think the internet isn't so hot either. So they can't go off Googling things when they need to find something out. They have to investigate in an old fashioned way.
That's it. And one of the things I think is for crime writers these days is the whole issue of Google and being able to keep track of people. And that presents a lot of difficulties. But I do love those sort of Agatha Christie closed room type isolated country house type books. And I really wanted to have a go at one. So West Cork seemed a very fitting location.
Yeah. And the you mentioned Agatha Christie there. There's certainly a sense of some kind of homage to her in this book. But there's also a sense of homage to Daphne du Maurier. I think possibly and mostly in my mind because of the presence of the housekeeper in the hotel where Caroline and Rachel find themselves staying, a place called the Hare's Landing. But the housekeeper is a woman called Mrs. Travers, and she has
Indeed.
A touch of the Mrs. Danvers offer from Rebecca.
She does. She has a lot. There's a lot of Rebecca. I actually came up with the idea when I was sitting about 100 yards from Frenchman's Creek in Cornwall. And I absolutely adore Rebecca. It's my favourite book of all time. And so, yeah, there's lots of little touches. In fact, Jasper, who is the person, the dog who Rachel brings with her from London, who's very important to the story, is named after Maxime's dog in Rebecca too. So there's a lot of little touches like that.
Yeah, in fact, you've done this before in one of your previous novels where there was a big homage to Patricia Highsmith.
Absolutely. They're great writers with fantastic storylines. And it's wonderful, I think, to be inspired by and sort of take that and then try and develop it into more modern, something different, something more Sam Blake, I suppose. The Patricia Highsmith was Strangers on a Train, only in Keep Your Eyes on Me. Obviously, the two women meet on a plane flying to New York. Taking it and twisting it, I suppose.
Yeah, Keep Your Eyes on Me being yours, Strangers on a Train being the Patricia Highsmith, obviously.
Indeed, that's it.
Now, I mentioned also in my introduction I can't remember now. The Cat Connolly novels, I think people will pretty much know you for those. We've had three of them and now we've had two standalones. Do you need to rest from Cat Connolly, or is there a reason why you go away from her, or why you went away from her?
I think that they worked really, really well as a trilogy, and Cat got to a point where she's going to go into a completely different area. So I know where she goes next. And we'll see whether or not there are any more Cat Connolly books. But one of the things I did was switch publishers. And so a moving publisher, Corvus Atlantic, who are my new publisher, who also publish Ethan Shorthall and Catherine Ryan Howard, actually, they were really keen to have standalone books. So that was where Keep Your Eyes on Me came from, and The Dark Room. And I think I'm going to stick with standalones for a bit for them. It's a new challenge, I think. You know, when you write a series, it's like literally like going into a pub where you know everybody and you know who the characters are, and it's then you're bringing plot to that group of people. Mm. But with a standalone, you have to start right from scratch and recreate everything, the characters, the locations. And I love location. I love it. I think it's a real character in a story. So there's a different level. It's a different type of book. And I think you need a challenge as well as a writer.
Yeah. And I'm quite certain, since you chose this location, because you could get that, if you like, that homage to Agatha Christie and that old fashioned locked room or isolated place feel in it. You didn't choose the name Hare's Landing for the hotel by accident. You must have been aware of what you were playing with there when you put a hare in there and its associations in Irish mythology.
Well, it was really strange because, in fact, the name came before I knew anything about the mythology. I always find it bizarre when you're writing, when you suddenly discover a connection that you never knew was there, that suddenly makes everything make sense. And the hares actually came because a friend of mine is a printer. I'd seen hares that he printed in London, and I think when you're a writer, little light bulbs go off in your head when you see something that might form a story down the road. And the little light bulb had popped in my head with these hares. And then I was in Cornwall and started to come up with the idea of this woman running on a beach, in fact, with a dog at her heels. And I went to see a friend of mine who's a ceramicist, and she had these beautiful tiles that she'd made, which had hares all over them. And it was literally like the hares connected in my head. And literally, as I was sitting on the beach, and the image of this running woman came into my head, just across the river from me was an old cottage and this ruin in the garden, a jail, a customs house jail, customs officers jail. And I suppose everything came together, and the ruin and the running woman and then the hares. And then it wasn't until I was literally about two thirds of the way through the book, and I was looking up hares and looking for rhymes about hares and just doing lots of research as I was going along, I discovered this link with Irish mythology. And it was just incredible, because at that point, there are ghosts, the house is a little bit haunted, and the ghosts had started to speak to me, and we were hearing smells, hearing violins and smelling smells, and doors were slamming. So it was, it all suddenly started to make sense.
Yeah, I mean, it really does when you think about that mythology, of course, around the hare, a lot of it being this idea that the hare somehow can carry messages from one dimension to another, or from, you know, the afterlife, or from the underworld to here. You know, the fact that you were seeing hares would suggest that the hares were, would you listen to me? I'm here. I want to tell you something. Then you start writing about ghosts and, you know, messages coming from another world as well. Do you believe in a kind of inspiration coming from somewhere else? Or do you actually think, no, you sit down at your desk, you start writing, and ideas will start to present themselves to go on the page?
Well, it's a very bizarre process. When something like that happens, you think there must be something else going on. I know Joseph O'Connor talks about characters sort of floating in clouds above us in an ether and looking for writers to land on. And when they find the right writer and the message comes through to you, then it starts to happen on the page. And sometimes that's exactly what it feels like, because between this idea of this running woman on a beach, who I had no idea who she was, and the hares, and then everything starting to connect. It's quite a surreal experience, really, and the ghosts in the book, and so it all began to make sense. So I think it must be. I think it's your subconscious mind doing the creativity bit, and you know, you get these light bulb moments where you see something. Could it be hares, or it might be a particular location, or somebody could say something to you.
Yeah.
And then those bits sort of start to join up, and then they form story, and then it becomes a unique thing of its own, if you like. But it can be a very strange experience.
Yeah, and I can't go too far down the road. I don't think I can go too far down the road of getting into Who's Running on Beaches and ghosts from the past as well, because really what's at the heart of this is unearthing a story from the past in the present day.
It is indeed, that's it. So it's a present day story, and a lot of digging around going on, and things being found. Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? It's always tricky with crime to have a conversation about it and not end up with a whole lot of spoilers. But so it's very much a present day story. We've got two very modern women in the modern age, but they are in this house uncovering the secrets of the past.
Yeah, and in fact, I said, you know, that it centres on Rachel and her husband. It's not quite true to say that. It centres really on Rachel and Rachel Lambert, this film producer from London, who finds herself with her husband making this documentary. The person who was at the centre, who was making the documentary with them, suddenly found burned to death. And then this other woman, Caroline Connolly, who's an Irish-born New York-based crime reporter who, for reasons of all sorts of difficulties at work and people making her life hell. She finds herself coming along to stay in Hare's Island as well. Is there some aspect, is there a yin and yang aspect, do you think, to the Rachel and Caroline characters that you wanted to explore two sides of how, because they're two very different women in lots of ways.
They are. They've got a lot of similarities in that they're a similar ages and they're both from Dublin. But they've both travelled, and they've both travelled, I suppose, away. So they're both outsiders in the places they live in. And then coming back, Hare's Landing and Cork have significances for both of them. So it was a childhood holiday destination for Caroline. And when she gets into trouble in work and things start to go pear-shaped in New York, she just needs to get away and get a, you know, needs some peace and quiet, get away from the phone. And so that's a very natural place for her to go. And when she starts Googling, she discovers this great deal at Hare's Landing because it's January and the hotel's only just opened. So they're very similar in many ways, but then they're quite different. They have different sets of skills. Rachel, as I say, it works in film, and so she's got a very good eye. She's used to looking at things in a lot of detail, and that becomes very important. And Caroline's a real rooter and a real digger, and she knows how to get into, you know, find information about things. So they have complementary skills. But yeah, they are a bit yin and yang. Rachel's a redhead, Caroline's dark. Different types of people.
And the other aspect of this is that, you know, you've mentioned the idea that there's a kind of a supernatural aspect to this. We do hear the sounds of stuff moving around in the hotel, voices, mumbled voices off somewhere in the distance in the hotel as well. Now, Caroline Connolly in particular, as an investigative reporter, isn't going to take any of that stuff, really, unless she has hard evidence. What about Sam Blake? How is she on that type of stuff? You know, the idea that there might be a haunted hotel, or the idea, indeed, again, I'm coming back to this idea that the voices might be coming to you from elsewhere.
Well, I'm fascinated by the supernatural, and I think it's for me, it's very strange because I'm absolutely fascinated, would really love to, I don't know, love is probably the wrong word, but to meet a ghost at some point in my life. I mean, I live in a very, very old house, and we definitely have some sort of poltergeist in this house that moves things around. But it's not a scary one. It only does it to annoy you, I think. We lose things a lot.
Stop a minute. She says, "Ah, yeah, we just have a poltergeist at home, move stuff around. That's not really scary. Just kind of make you really feel, and you're not frightened of it."
No, not at all. It's a very benign present. We can't really feel anything. It's just you put something down. It happens to me and it happens to kids all the time. You put something down in the house and you know how you lose something and you can spend all day looking for it. And you know you've been past the same point 4 or 5 times and it wasn't there. And then you'll come back and it'll be sitting there waiting for you. So, yeah, that happens a lot in this house. But yeah. I don't know how much. It's an old post office, my house. So I think there's lots of story here. One sort of another.
Ah, lots of stories there. Now, is that the author's imagination that imagines these things? I mean, you know, because quite frankly, if, and I do spend a lot of my days, many days, searching for my keys and where they might have been put down. Yeah. I don't really want a poltergeist to put them back on the sideboard beside the door for me. Thanks very much. I'd rather just be more careful about where I put them down.
It's very strange. And there's always an old place too. But yeah, no, I'd love to see, I don't know, something proper. But the hilarious thing, I suppose, for me is that my sister, who has no interest whatsoever in anything supernatural, is the one who continually ends up in houses that seem to have all sorts of spooky presences. When she first went to college in Hartlepool, she had feet that went up and down the stairs and made a load of noise at night. And then she moved to a farmhouse where she's an artist and she had a studio, and they'd hear BBC voices that sounded like BBC radio voices at night, and all sorts of things would happen. And so she's the one, she's the biggest skeptic on the planet, and things keep happening to her. And I'm the one that's sort of sitting here waiting. So we'll wait and see. We've actually got, there's a lovely lady called Tina Barco, who's the head of Paranormal Researchers Ireland, who's going to be coming to talk to me on Thursday evening online. We've got a Zoom launch and we're going to be talking about all things spooky then. So we're going to be getting more into the supernatural side of things. It's very interesting.
It certainly is. It sounds, that poltergeist obviously has to have a book of his or her own. Do you know the gender of the poltergeist yet? Has he or she made it obvious to you?
I think it might be the postmaster of time. I always think that the stories, because my office is in the room that used to be the post office, and the stories that must have come through here with people, you know, people sending letters, and I think it was the post office from about I think it was like sort of 1846 or something to 1938, or for a long time. And people in the village can still remember it, you know, coming in and being the sweet shop too. And I always think the stories and the people coming in for the gossip and the chat, and then the stories that would have gone through would be amazing. So, yes, we'll have to wait and see. I think I'll have to write about the post office.
Oh, you certainly will have to write about the post office. Just, I want to return to, briefly before we finish up, Sam, to this idea about where the inspiration comes from, and you as the, you know, the founder of the website writing.ie, and then this crime fiction festival Murder One, but particularly writing.ie, which is all about, you know, writers supporting each other and supporting young writers and helping them out at the, and establishing writers at the beginning of their career. What are the things you have to do? It wasn't just inspiration that got you to the point where your novels were published. Perseverance was a large part of it.
Huge, huge. And really, writing.ie came out of completely my own need to learn to write. In fact, my husband and I've started writing the very first book I wrote a long time ago. My husband went sailing across the Atlantic for 8 weeks, and I was left at home on my own. I had an idea for a book, and I literally started writing. But I realised the bug completely bit me. But by the time I got to about book three, and book one, obviously, I thought was going to be an incredible bestseller and everybody was going to love, because this was my baby. But needless to say, it was rejected left, right and centre across the entire planet. So by the time I got to book three, I kept going. And by the time I got to book three, I realised I really needed to learn how to write and pick up those techniques that they don't teach you in school. So I set up a company called Inkwell, and from that, writing.ie grew. And the whole idea really is it's very much, it's a portal, it's a place where you can come and you can find all that information that was never there when I started writing. Packed full of articles now.
All right. Well, that's where people can go if they think I'm a good reader and I think I can write. You'll learn a few lessons on writing.ie about that. And if they want to see the fruits of following the advice on writing.ie, they could do worse than look at Sam Blake's latest novel, The Dark Room, which is published by Corvus. Lovely to speak with you this evening, Sam. Thanks
Lovely
for being with
Shanti.
Us. And let us know when that poltergeist visits you again.
I will do. Thank you so much, Sean. Lovely to talk to you.
You too. Trying to hear if she ever gets to see the poltergeist.